Good morning. Once again, it is wonderful to be with you this morning, and I'll tell you, I enjoy just being with God's people and worshiping, and sometimes just not singing and listening to everybody sing. It is uplifting, and I can't picture life without the church, without the people of God gathered together, and so it is good to be here today. So maybe for this message today, I should have my hair a little more slicked and maybe a little more expensive outfit on. But my friends, you can be a success in 2009. I know the economic outlook is not pretty. And oftentimes we define success in terms of money. Now, I'm thankful for my paycheck, and profitable businesses are a good thing. But for the sermon this morning, I would like to define success this way. Success is the achievement of something desired, attempted, or planned for. Success is the achievement of something desired, attempted, or planned for. And with that definition, that means you can be a success in 2009. I don't care who you are, how old you are, what you do during the week, you can be a success. This past summer, my family took a trip to Colorado, and I'm very glad that I lived there for 8 years, met my wife out there, and so we have a good reason, good excuse to visit such a beautiful state. So we went out there this summer. Our first two nights were spent in Denver. Now, my son, who is 14 years old, was born in Colorado. And if you were to ask him, what are the most important historical events that you remember as a young child, do you know what he would say? He would say the Denver Broncos winning the Super Bowl back to back. This was the most significant thing from my childhood. Okay. So the lad is a Broncos fan. Okay, he is. So we said, Timothy, we'll go tour the stadium. Very excited. So one day we went to Invesco Field at Mile High, the stadium where the Denver Broncos play. After taking some pictures outside the stadium, we went in, purchased our tickets for the tour, spent a few minutes wandering around the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame, and then it was time for our tour. So we gathered in the designated spot. At this day, there were only seven of us there. And pretty soon, the tour guide emerged. He was an average-looking guy, late 40s, early 50s, average voice, did not appear to be very wealthy, was not well-known. But on that day, that tour guide showed success like I don't see every day. In fact, at the end of the tour, okay, this might sound a little weird, but at the end of the tour, I took notes, not on what he said, but how he said. So we're there. He arrives, and he does a brief introduction, and then he wants to get to know us. And where are you from? Where are you from? And as each person shared, there were not many of us, you could tell he was really listening to each person. Now, off to the side, I asked a businessman in my church, out of curiosity, what's a key for success? The first thing he said, listen to people. Anyway, this tour guide is listening to us. He gets to our family. Yes, we're from Chicago. He's, oh, wow. We said, our son here, loyal Denver Broncos fan. Well, the tour guide was so taken that my son was an outspoken Broncos fan in the heart of Chicago Bear country. The tour guide was so impressed that he proceeded to give 1 year's worth of self-esteem boosting in 1 minute to my son. Like, whoa. Then he began the introductory remarks for the tour. Somebody asked him a question. Oh, he loved it. Somebody asked him another question. Pretty soon you could tell that this guy was not content to just know the information for the tour. This guy had studied Denver Broncos history. I mean, if there was a master's degree in Bronconess, you know, he would have passed with flying colors. Point here, he wasn't just a tour guide. He was a Denver Broncos fan in his heart. And he was an expert at what he did and an expert in Broncos knowledge. I thought, boy, that's a key to success. You're not satisfied with average or just getting by. You want to be an expert. He could have gone on and on, but he knew he had to stop himself so that we could walk around. So we left this room, walked across a hallway. He opened up a door and in we walked the United Airlines skybox. And there was the stadium before us. Now, this guy spoke with such a sense of pride, with such enthusiasm, that me standing there listening to him and looking at the wonder of my son's face, I got a little emotional. I was not expecting this at a football stadium to be like, oh, you know, but I was. It was weird. Okay, I like the Broncos, but I'm not a huge fan. But anyway, so I'm feeling the love. Each place he took us on that tour, he spoke with such enthusiasm, such ownership. It was contagious. You could not help but like the Broncos with this tour guide. Enthusiasm. Successful people are enthusiastic. So at the end of the tour, he takes us down to the field. He says, "You may not step on the field." I am thinking, hello, 300-pound men for 1 hour, pound on this field, and I cannot step on the field? Anyway, I was a good tour participant. I obeyed. So we get down to the field, and he talks about it, and since we were there, he told us how Soldiers Field and Invesco Field were virtually the same type of technology with fields. I didn't know there was that much technology. Grass grew, but there's more to it. Anyway, he told us all of the ins and outs of this. And then near the end of the tour, he looks at my son again. And you could just tell he was just so proud of my son being a Denver Broncos fan that he takes out his wallet, pulls out a business card, hands it to me, and says, "If you are ever in town for a Broncos game, you give me a call. I will get you tickets. I have season tickets. My extended family has season tickets. I will make sure your son can get to a Broncos game." This guy didn't have to do it, and we didn't go this winter, but you could tell he wasn't just saying it. He meant it. Successful people go the extra mile. They go the extra mile. Now, friends, if you apply these few success pointers that I've given you right now, this is going to help you in 2009. You will be a success. However, my talk this morning is not merely a motivational speech, right? It's a sermon. Yes. And so we're going to look to God's Word. And I would like us to consider the success in the early church. And then briefly, what it means to be a success as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then I'd like to conclude by thinking about the successful you. You as individuals and as families, and you as the church. The successful you. So let's look to God's Word. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I think it's on page 1077, or go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. The book of Acts, written by Luke. Luke, who wrote the gospel according to Luke. And so Acts is his second volume of Christian history. Begin reading at verse 1. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from a hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. If you were going to choose a group of guys to be responsible for the founding of the church, the body of Christ — Jesus is leaving, now it's in the hands of these guys — I don't think your first pick would be the people Jesus picked. You know, they had no education. They were not well connected, didn't have money. And at this point, they were a bit scared. But Jesus puts into their hands an awesome responsibility, the beginning of the church. And we have seen through human history that they were successful beyond their wildest dreams. The church eventually shook the Roman Empire and has affected human history from these humble beginnings. The church has been a success. How did it start? It started with a big vision, with a purpose planted deep in the heart. Matthew 28:19-20, we call this the Great Commission. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." What a purpose statement. Acts 1, verse 8, which we just read: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What purpose? You are not just going to be a witness for me here in Jerusalem. Hello, apostles, disciples, think big. Think the world. And we know from the book of Acts that these big ideas that Jesus was planting with the disciples, these were things that actually went into their hearts. It wasn't just like, "Oh yeah, now we got to do what Jesus told us to do. Well, let's go out and witness." No, this was not just what Jesus said. This became who they were. I told you about this tour guide. He was successful not just because he memorized a script to be a tour guide. He was successful because in his heart, he was a Denver Broncos fan. True success begins in the heart. You hold on to something that is real, that is purposeful. You have some vision that is deep within you, and then you go and you act in this world. It's got to begin in the heart. It began in the hearts of those in the early church. Next, be an expert. Don't just know enough to get by. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Gives the idea that they could not get enough of it. Acts 2:46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day continued to meet together. They wanted to be experts when it came to being the early church and disciples of Jesus. Be enthusiastic. Everyone was filled with awe. Acts 2:43 and Acts 4:31, they spoke the word of God boldly. They could not keep quiet. The early church was enthusiastic. And then go the extra mile. Acts 4:32, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And Acts 5:40 to 41, they, the Jewish leaders, they called the apostles in and had them flogged or beaten or spanked really bad. Flogged. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Why did they rejoice? Because it was no problem for them to go to go the extra mile. Jesus had given his life for them, and they were willing to do anything for Jesus Christ. Go the extra mile. There is one more essential part to success as a Christian, and it is often ignored. And this word is surrender. Surrender. We see it demonstrated in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised." Waiting involves surrendering your will. They showed surrender. And Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Prayer is an action of surrender. So to summarize this, as we think about being a success as a disciple of Jesus Christ, it begins in the heart. That is the place that it needs to start. And it must be God-directed. Sometimes Christianity just gets reduced to doing things. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to do this, and I've got to do this, and yeah, I got to do this too, so that I look like a good Christian. Now, doing things is very important. But if it's just doing things and it is self-driven and not God-driven, then all of our doing is in vain. And so it has to be work out of a heart for Jesus Christ. And throughout the Bible, we read about these words, surrender, humility, submission. It's all throughout the Bible. Another way of describing this in the New Testament is die to self and live for Christ. Surrender must be there. See, a lot of people in this world, when they define success, they could say yes and amen to everything that I have said except surrender. Many people put the word pride right there in the bottom, right? It's me. I'm going to be successful for what I want. It's my will to be done. And so they have this pride that's right there in their heart. And then they've got the vision. They go the extra mile. They're enthusiastic. They become experts. And in one degree, you know, you could say they're successful. But are they ultimately successful? I would beg to differ. Living successfully, be an expert, be enthusiastic, and go the extra mile as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now let's take a moment and think about the successful you. The successful you. Huh? Everybody. The successful you. When I was in high school and college, I thought about success. I did. I wanted to be successful. And I thought about, what does that mean for my life? I want to be a person that is on the right path. I want to be driven. I want to make a difference. I don't want to just blah, blah, blah throughout life. Do you really, in your heart, want to be successful? So the successful you, individually and as a church, you begin by checking your heart. What's in your heart? What are you passionate about? What do you desire? What do you yearn for? What do you long for in life? Sometimes we desire the wrong things. You know, you desire something that is wrong and sinful. In your mind, you know it's wrong. And what often wins out? What you know or your desire? It's scary, our desire. And that's why it's important to start with being honest with our heart. Truly, you know, let's be real. What is in our hearts? What is motivating us? What are we truly passionate for? When we think about pride, not about you, but usually I think about somebody else, right? Oh, they're proudful. You know, I teach in a high school, you know, and you have the stereotypical proudful, you know, high school guy has got everything together. It's, oh, that's pride, not me. Well, whenever you are selfish, you are prideful. Bam! That just nails all of us, right? Pride is going to drag us down and not give us success from God's perspective. Surrender. Surrender. I've talked about it before. All through the year, you hear sermons. And a lot of these sermons have to do with Christian growth. Growth in faith, right? This is good. Now, if you were to summarize the key to Christian growth with one word, what would you use? Now, a lot of different words, I suppose, could be used here. Today, I would like to say, here is the key word. The key word is surrender. Now, you don't need to raise your hands, but if you did, and I asked, who wants to grow in faith in 2009? I assume most hands would be raised right now. Okay, come on. How much do you really want to grow in faith in 2009? If I asked, how many people would love to experience more of the power of God in their life in 2009? Oh, hands up! You know what I believe the key is, ultimately, to Christian growth? The key to God's power working in your life? It is simply surrender. Because when you surrender to Jesus Christ, then your passions are purified and God molds your motivations. Your heart is changed through surrender. You must be as a little child to enter the kingdom of God. The key to success as a Christian is surrender. What a resolution in this new year. And also, what an amazing launch pad for success in 2009. Check your heart. Be real with your heart. What are your passions? Have you really taken a hold of this, the big vision statement that Jesus has given you in His Word? The vision that this church has to do God's work in this world. Is it in your heart? And if you've got missing pieces, you need to surrender. Now, once your heart is in the right spot, then it's time to live successfully, to demonstrate success in your actions. This begins by being an expert. Grow in the knowledge of God's Word. In 2009, don't be satisfied with a superficial level of God's Word. Seek to know God and His Word more and more. And secondly, grow in the knowledge of God's world. Grow in the knowledge of God's world. Everybody in this room that's in school right now, guess what? School is. School is growing in the knowledge of God's world. That's what I believe. And in school, you learn a lot of different things. And maybe you don't like math, but you put up with it. Your parents say it's good for you and you do it, okay. But each one of us in this room are different. We are all unique. And in addition to having a passion for Jesus Christ that God wants us to have, God has given us other passions in life, other interests in this amazing world that God has created. And be an expert in that. And so, often we think of success, we think of business. If you're in business, God is calling you as a Christian to be an expert in your area of business. If it's music, you have a passion for Jesus and you also love music. Be an expert in music. Don't settle for just average. I even, would say if math is a passion, be an expert in math. God created math. I could go on and on. But the point is, as Christians, we don't settle for average. We seek to be an expert in God's Word and an expert in God's world, in all the various aspects of this creation that God has made. And how wonderful that is to have the church, to have people being experts in all of the facets of God's creation. Be an expert. Be enthusiastic. If you truly, in your heart, have a sense of Jesus' purpose for your life, people should be able to see your heart. Is your faith contagious? Be enthusiastic. It's a key to success. And then go the extra mile. Going the extra mile, if it comes from your heart, is really no sacrifice. It's really not a big deal because you want to do it, because it's coming from deep inside of you. Here's a little statement. This is a ooh statement. Okay, are you ready for this? Always be 100% satisfied with God's grace. Never be satisfied with how you respond to God's grace. 100% satisfied with God's grace in my life. Never satisfied with how I'm responding to God's grace. I continue to press on. On and on and on. All through life, there is more. And God is calling us to go the extra mile. Now, there's a lot to be said here. I'd like to summarize it with three S words. The first is sin. Deal with it and go the extra mile. The fact of the matter is, there are some of you in here today that are really trapped in sin, and you know what it's doing? It is taking you away from success. Sin is sick, it is stupid, and it sucks the life out of you. And simply to have a resolution in 2009 to say, for the path of success that God wants me to have, I need to wage war on this area of my life. Whatever it takes, who cares? I'm going to go the extra mile. This has got to be dealt with. Going the extra mile, sin, deal with it. Secondly, structure of life. Structure of life. This is another way of saying rearranging your priorities so that the way you spend time, the way you invest your emotions and your life, it lines up with the passions of your heart. One of your passions is family, and we can all be so busy. Yesterday, I spent a whole day just with my son, and it touched his heart. He told me that in so many words yesterday. It's like, wow, this meant more to him than I realized. There's a structure of my life issue right there. Maybe you look at your life and you go, you know what, I'm really wasting a lot of time over here. I could be using this for something else, to be successful with the passions that God has put within my heart. So structure of your life, rearrange your priorities. Sin, deal with that structure of life, and then serve. Serve people. People matter. People are eternal. Investing in people, going the extra mile for people. This is putting you on the path to success. Very little story. My wife is shopping, you know, Christmas season. There's this one particular cashier that did not look her in the eye, had a scowl on his face. My wife was almost scared, almost ran out of the place, like, this type of thing. Okay, this guy, no success in retail, okay, obviously. Now, there was another guy. His name was Ronnie. My wife was looking in women's athletic apparel. Ronnie walks by. Ronnie does not know much about women's athletic apparel. But he says, may I help you? And she's like, yeah, I'm looking for this. And he looks, oh, I can't find. What does he do? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm going to find this for you. He goes here, can't find. Then he keeps going until he can find it for her. Okay, Ronnie, success in retail. Why? Because he went the extra mile. How much more, friend? How much more? When we have a vision of what Jesus Christ wants us to do in life, when we go an extra mile for Jesus, how much more will that count? Let's summarize what I've said here and look on the screen. It begins in the heart. At the very bottom of the heart is surrender to Jesus Christ. And as we surrender, our passions are purified. God molds our motivations so they're in line with Him and still unique to you as a person. So it begins in the heart. And then out of this type of heart, then we become an expert. We are enthusiastic. And we go the extra mile. Right here, this is your key to success in 2009. And it is my prayer that God will do a wonderful heart work within you. And as you surrender your life more completely to Jesus Christ, may this be an amazing, successful year for the church, for your family, for yourself. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank You that You are a God that is interested in our lives and that You are a God that knows our hearts. Please mold us and shape us, O God, after Your will. May we grow this year with a greater heart as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And wherever You have called us in this world to serve You, may we have a drive within us to be a success, but not merely a success that feeds pride, but may we be a success that brings glory and honor and praise to You, Almighty God. We need this, O Lord. We pray for this in the mighty and matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.